Greetings in the name of our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is Pastor Dwight Oswald, and today our devotional is from Matthew 1, 2 through 11, titled Motley Crue, Messianic Story. Matthew 1, 2. Abraham begot Isaac, Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Judah and his brothers. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are the three great patriarchs on whom the nation of Israel was founded. God repeated to each one the truth of the Abrahamic covenant, which is the conduit of all covenant blessings. And then Judah is specifically mentioned in reference to his brothers. This is because the scepter, the right to rule, goes through this tribe. Genesis 49:10, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh comes, and to him shall be the obedience of the people. The scepter shall not depart from Judah. It is clear that the genealogy given by Matthew was selective, in which some names are omitted. He is drawing a genealogical line from Abraham to Jesus, and he does so selectively to make his point that indeed Jesus meets the genealogical qualifications of being of the royal line of David. We read Matthew 1, 3 through 6. Judah begot Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Perez begot Hezron, and Hezron begot Ram. Ram begot Amadab. Amadab begot Nashan. Nashan begot Salmon. Salmon begot Boaz by Rahab. Boaz begot Obed by Ruth. Obed begot Jesse. And Jesse begot David the king. David the king begot Solomon by her who had been the wife of Uriah. It was not customary to list women in a person's genealogy, but here we have four women mentioned, and in each case, they have an unusual background. Tamar was immoral with her father-in-law, Judah. Rahab was a prostitute by background. Ruth was a Gentile Moabitess, and her who had been the wife of Uriah, namely Bathsheba, who is not even mentioned by name, is the fourth. Two of these women were Gentiles, Rahab and Ruth, and three of them were morally stained. This shows us a number of things. Number one, Jesus also had Gentile blood represented in him. He is the Savior of the world. And also, the grace of God takes the most unlikely candidates and uses them to a glorious end. God's plan illustrates and magnifies his grace. And finally, in Christ, the barriers of sex and race are torn down. As Paul says in Galatians 3:28, you are all one in Christ Jesus. God uses a motley crew to develop his great messianic story. It's ultimately a story about God and what he can do using anyone. It champions the story of grace. This is the Messiah's story. And to think he can use even you and me in the ongoing story of redemptive history. Note that in verse 6 it says Jesse begot David the king. That is significant because in all the naming and listing in this genealogy, only David is called the king. This is because it is through David, in keeping with the Davidic covenant, that the kingdom is brought in through the son of David. That is the greater David, who is the Messiah. Through David comes the king. Kingship belongs to David. Matthew 1, 7 through 10. Solomon begot Rehoboam. Rehoboam begot Abijah. Abijah begot Asa. Asa begot Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat begot Joram. And Joram begot Uzziah. Uzziah begot Jotham. Jotham begot Ahaz. And Ahaz begot Hezekiah. Hezekiah begot Manasseh. Manasseh begot Ammon. And Ammon begot Josiah. Both good and wicked kings are listed, all in the line of David. Manasseh was of the worst of the worst, and yet at the end was converted. This mixture shows something of the strange and unexpected workings of God's providence in all the wise plan of God's salvation provided in the Messiah. Matthew 1:11. Josiah begot Jeconiah and his brothers about the time they were carried away to Babylon. Now here is a problem. His name is Jeconiah, also called Jehoiachin, or simply Kaniah. Jeconiah and his line were cursed. He was not to have a descendant sit on the throne of David, although he was in the line of David. Jeremiah 22:30, thus says the Lord, write this man, that's Jeconiah, down as childless, a man who shall not prosper in his days, for none of his descendants shall prosper sitting on the throne of David and ruling any more in Judah. But here he is in the Messianic genealogy. How does this work? In 2 Samuel 7, 12 through 17, God promised David an eternal Davidic covenant through his son Solomon. But in the line of Solomon is Jeconiah, who was cursed. So here is the dilemma. How can God's promise that the throne of David be established forever through Solomon, and yet at the same time, the reality of the curse be fulfilled? How can both be true? The answer is this. There is a throne line that goes through Solomon, which leads to Joseph, Matthew's emphasis. This is the genealogy of Joseph. But there is also a bloodline that goes through another son of David named Nathan. This is the genealogy of Mary, Luke's emphasis. Matthew is following, this is from gotquestions.org, and it's a quote. Quote, Matthew is following the line of Joseph, Jesus' legal father, through David's son Solomon, while Luke is following the line of Mary, Jesus' blood relative, through David's son Nathan. End of quote. William MacDonald says, quote, if Jesus had been the real son of Joseph, he would have come under this curse. Yet he had to be the legal son of Joseph in order to inherit the rights to the throne of David. The problem was solved by the miracle of the virgin birth. Jesus was the legal heir to the throne through Joseph. He was the real son of David through Mary. The curse on Jeconiah did not fall on Mary or her children, since she did not descend from Jeconiah. End of quote. William MacDonald. This is absolute precision fulfillment, meeting all the exact genealogical requirements to be the Messiah. Jesus had to come through the line of Solomon to assume the throne. But he could not come through the line of Solomon because cursed Jeconiah was of that line. How could it happen then? Well, by way of adoption through the throne line of Joseph. Jesus had to be of the bloodline of David to be a true son of David. This was fulfilled through Mary, who was of the line of Nathan, who was also a son of David. This line had no curse. So in the genealogy of Christ, both the throne line and the bloodline converge in the Messiah Jesus through both Joseph and Mary, as only God could do. Note, the deportation to Babylon is very significant because it marked the end of the Davidic succession in which someone from the line of David was seated on David's throne in Jerusalem. That break continued on until Jesus was presented as the rightful heir of the Davidic throne at his first coming. But since the Jews rejected him, the throne of David continues to remain unoccupied. The next king to sit on David's throne in Jerusalem will be Jesus the Messiah at the time of his second coming when he sets up his kingdom. This is Pastor Dwight Oswald signing off for now.